Queen County Board of Commissioners weekly business session. Today is November 16th, 2016, 9 a.m. And we are going to start with the Pledge of Allegiance, if you'll please stand. First item on the agenda this morning, we have 1A, approval of resolution number 2016-069. Yes, sir.
Did Commissioner Kerr still call him? I don't think he's going to.
I hadn't heard that he was. Yeah, Commissioner Hare is at the Association of Oregon Counties Conference, so the question was he going to call in, but we had not received information that he was. So. Okay, 1A. Approval of resolution number 2016-069 in the matter of authorizing the Josephine County Community Development Planning Director to initiate a land use application to amend the Rural Land Development Code to provide for amendment of review procedures for appeals of final decision made by a county hearings officer. That is a mouthful, but we do have Mr. Hicks here to explain it word by word.
Hey, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Ollie Hicks.
Legal counsel. Indeed. So, just to start off, certainly some chatter has arisen regarding the similarity of the word hearings officer to the word hearings officer that was used in ordinances that were on the prior election repealed by the electorate. And this has absolutely no connection whatsoever in any way, except for the word hearings officer, to those ordinances. This proposal that the board is sending to the planning director and the planning commission applies exclusively, entirely, to people who have chosen to file applications for various reasons with the planning department, and also those people who have chosen to become involved in cases that are pending at the planning department. So that's it. It's not got to do with enforcement. It's got to do with people, the options that are available to them after they have filed an application with the planning department. So I hope that's been clear. This is probably the fourth or fifth public hearing at which the board has discussed this matter, per my estimation. And so I know that the board members are clear, but it's probably worth me going over just some of the provisions of what this does to take us through what this proposal involves. Currently, in the Rural Land Development Code, applicants with the planning department, and again, these are just talking about the people who filed an application with the planning department, they have the option of appealing decisions by either the planning director or the planning commission to a hearings officer. And similarly, persons who are what are called parties to cases, meaning people who become involved, they're not the applicant, but they become involved in cases that are pending at the planning department, would have the option of appealing, if they disagree with a decision that's been made, to a hearings officer. The reason why virtually nobody does that, and there is no hearings officer currently assigned for Josephine County, is because the hearings officer's decisions under the current Rural Land Development Code are appealable to the Board of County Commissioners, just as decisions from the planning director, certain decisions, and the planning commission are appealable directly to the Board of County Commissioners. And so the hearings officer has become simply an additional step that wouldn't necessarily save anything if somebody were to engage in the appeals process from a decision made by either the planning director or the planning commission. And so what this proposal would do is that you're simply asking the planning director and the planning commission to look into this at this point, to this question, but what you're suggesting that they look into is the question of whether decisions made by the hearings officer would be appealable not to the Board of Commissioners, but instead to the Land Use Board of Appeals. And the thinking is that that would thereby save a step, basically, because if certain cases are inevitably destined for the Land Use Board of Appeals, then the Board of County Commissioners would not be then part of the process between the hearings officer and the Land Use Board of Appeals, but would instead be be involved in the process only after and if LUBA had approved the application in the case. And so I have provided, on a couple prior occasions, I think, a flow chart that I endeavored to create from PowerPoint. I don't know that it's part of today's package of information, but the flow chart sort of shows in visual form on one page what would occur in terms of a planning application's life and when it would be appealed, where it would go, and under what circumstances. And in terms of implementing that within the Rural Land Development Code, what we've provided here today and is attached to Resolution 2016-069 is a little, it's a version of a draft ordinance that would be subject, of course, to two readings following publication and public hearings. Anyway, it is a draft of an ordinance that would implement this change. And again, strictly the change would be that the hearings officer's decisions would be now appealable to LUBA as opposed to currently. And what it says, and the way I've presented this here, is that similar to the way the legislature kind of drafts bills, new language is bolded and language to be stricken is in italics and brackets. And so a final version of an ordinance would not actually look like that. It would look like your standard ordinance. But for clarity's sake, I presented this draft and attached it to the resolution, so this draft would also go to the Planning Commission, and they could see exactly what would be occurring within the Rural Land Development Code and if they decide to recommend this change. So I think I've covered most of the high points.
Yes, you have. I just want to make it very clear for people to understand. We're not adding a hearings officer. The hearings officer is already in our county ordinance. In fact, hearing officers is several places in our county ordinances, already there. This is just changing the process whereby people will have faster resolution to the issue. Typically, you have a question?
Has been the catalyst for the initiation of this revision?
The experience that the board has had, I think, principally in the Sunny Valley Center of Craffle case, has been such that that kind of a case is so technical and so involved and so dependent upon specialized knowledge that the hearings officer, I think the board had pretty much concluded, that a hearings officer is really the most appropriate entity to bring to bear to evaluate this stuff that's just pouring in regards to this case. And so if the hearings officer had been a part of that case, and if the hearings officer's decision had been appealable directly to LUBA, then I think there's a sense that it would have been a more efficient and less expensive and probably speedier process than actually ensued in that case.
And, well, I mean, there's, pardon me, there's the multitudinous insinuations that this is just another step for you or the commissioners to make a power grab, and this, and some of these things are very hard to even soberly address. For those who are greatly concerned that their liberties and freedoms and rights and all these are going to be wrenched from them through this, how do you quell that angst in their souls?
I don't deal too much with souls. That's more your line, Commissioner, I think. But I would suggest that the only people who are going to be impacted by this are those who choose to file an application with the Planning Department, or who choose to become involved in cases that are pending before the planning department. So right there, we've narrowed dramatically the scope of citizens to whom this would ever even apply. Beyond that, the hearings officer is already an option available to both applicants and other parties in the planning process. It is already on the books. What's being discussed here is what happens after the hearings officer makes a decision. Currently, what happens after the hearings officer makes a decision, if somebody disagrees with it, is it would be appealed directly, would be appealed to the Board of County Commissioners, and then potentially appealed to LUBA, ultimately. What this is seeking to change is that the hearings officer's decision would be appealable not to the Board of Commissioners, but would be appealable directly to the Land Use Board of Appeals, who's basically the final say. And so it would skip the step of appealing to the Board of County Commissioners before getting to LUBA, and would just go directly to LUBA, Land Use Board of Appeals.
One other thing that I would like people to understand is, again, repeat again, we already have the option of a hearings officer. That's not new. That's not an addition. That's been for years, as it is in many other departments. By having the opportunity for this to go directly to LUBA rather than to Board of County Commissioners, having to hire legal counsel or other expert advice, expert people to go through the whole scheduling process to go through the Board of County Commissioners is very expensive. Then if they appeal it to LUBA, they have to do the same thing. So it adds to the expense for these people, as well as the time. But the other thing that I think is that came up in that hearing has come up in other hearings that we have had here is the allegations of ex parte communication, the allegations of involvement by county commissioners in cases before they come before them, which is, in my view, not fair to the parties. It's a very difficult thing to do when you are dealing with the public, trying to represent the public, trying to assist them, trying to guide them, trying to, you know, give them advice about things. And then you find 18 months or 24 months later, that same issue comes before you on the Board of County Commissioners. And how are you impartial? How do people even perceive you to be impartial when you've already stated opinions or already provided guidance and assistance? So that is something that is, has not been mentioned by a lot of people, but I see it, and I see it on all of our land use cases that come forward. You're not immune from being a public servant. You try to be a public servant always, and then if something goes awry and they wish to appeal it, they're appealing it to the same people who have already tried to help them. So I see this as a benefit for people so that it removes that, it takes that right off the table where people can make the allegation of you having been involved in a case. And anyone who's been at the hearings has heard those objections. They've heard them, you know, that, well, you know, we think that Commissioner so-and-so has, you know, talked to these parties and already has an opinion. And those are valid complaints. And I think that what this will do is we'll eliminate that so that people will get a fair chance at making their argument. And I'm not insinuating that, you know, the cases have been tainted in the past necessarily. I'm not insinuating that. I'm just saying the allegations were made, they were ruled on, but that shouldn't even have to be a consideration for people trying to seek a fair chance.
The code expects commissioners to avoid talking with constituents about land use cases, and that is not reality.
Right, yeah.
You're supposed to be doing the exact opposite. So it's a real awkward place to put the decision-making body. I mean, you know, on the one hand, you're expected to avoid talking with constituents, but that's not the way it's supposed to be either. I mean, constituents should always get a chance to have input to their commissioners. So this would skip that whole issue.
Okay, thank you.
This resolution that is on the admin calendar is a resolution. It is not the first step that is going to be taken to the inevitable passing of the ordinance.
Far from it. There will be at least three opportunities for public input remaining here. The first will be the Planning Commission hearing, which will be a very detailed endeavor, I suspect, with an exclusively citizen body. And then there will be, if the Planning Commission makes a recommendation and the board decides to pursue the ordinance after that point, then there will be at least two readings of the ordinance, the first and second reading, and there would be public input at those stages, and then, of course, 90 days after that would be when the ordinance would go into effect.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Item 1B, we have Mr. Schofield, our HR director, for approval of a non-union salary analysis. Thank you.
Good morning, Board. J.J. Schofield, HR director, Joseph County. As you know, each year it is the board's responsibility to make a determination on non-union salary. We have a personnel policy that states that on January 1st, the non-union employee group shall receive a cost of living adjustment equal to the CPI index, which is consumer price index. And it says to be at a minimum 0, maximum 4, and then it has a caveat where the Board of Commissioners can give an adjustment higher or lower. It can be 0. It could be, you know, within that realm based upon what our comparable data states and what our fiscal realities are of the county. And for the last 4 years, the board has decided not to give a cost of living adjustment. The realities of the fiscal nature were such that it was not appropriate at that time. So in order to help the board make that determination based on some data, I completed a analysis of our salaries and a comparable analysis of what our comparable counties have done in the last 4 years. So the results of that show that our county is 4% behind our comparable at the bottom of our scale, and 8% behind at the bottom, and 4% behind at the top. So we're falling behind our comparable data. Also, it shows that every single one of our comparable counties has given at least one, and most of them have given 3 COLAs in the last 4 years. So that's what's led to us falling behind. The current CPI numbers are 1.2%. The fact that we are 4% behind at the top makes me want to recommend that we authorize a 2% COLA. As you can see, our comparables have done, you know, ranging from 1%, 2%. The highest was actually Linn County gave a 5% COLA a couple of years ago, which is a bit surprising that it was that high. But I think that it's important to recognize that inflation is just a natural part of the economy. Cost of goods go up, and when you don't give a COLA, it's actually a decrease in ability for people to spend. If you look at what has occurred in the last number of years, we have 15 appointed department managers, and in the last 3 years since I've been here, we have lost 7 of them, and it's expensive to do recruitment. Now, not all of those were a result of people leaving for other jobs, but when you're looking at comparable salary, I think it's important that we have a position that is responsible in salary, but also competitive. I don't expect us to be at the top of the salary scale in our comparative. I think that's also irresponsible based upon our fiscal needs, but we need to stay comparable to our competitors or we'll lose folks. So the information I presented should help the board make a determination.
The non-elected, the non-union personnel have not had a cost of living increase for 5 years in a row.
If they haven't had one since 2012. That was the last one, January of 2012.
And did you figure out from a $1 because of inflation in 2012, what is it worth in 2016?
The inflationary rate has averaged about 1.5% over the course of those years. So we have lost about 6% of the spending power in that time period.
So a person who was earning $50,000 a year.
That's a loss of $300 a year in buying power. So
but that is, in effect, a salary decreasing.
Ultimately, yeah. You know, how far your money goes has reduced by, you know, 6% over the course of those 4 years.
When we were meeting last week, a question arose as to how much would this 2% cost county?
It is about, for the cost to the general fund, is actually very nominal. It's around, I think it's $200 a month to the general fund. Each department is, most of the departments are funded by a number of different revenue sources. 90% of the county's funding does not come from the general fund. And so each department would cover the cost of this cost of living adjustment based upon the grants and fees and things that they receive. So general fund cost is about $200 a month.
Thank you, Mr. Scofield.
Thank you.
All right, item 1C. This is approval order number 2016-055 in the matter of renaming White School Road to White Schoolhouse Road. And we have with us this morning Mr. Page.
Good morning. I'm Jeff Page with the Josephine County Community Development Department, Planning Division, I'm Planner 1. Anyway, on April 18th, the Board of County Commissioners received a petition from the residents of White School Road to change the name to White Schoolhouse Road. This is in response to some confusion from the Emergency Services Department and regarding the current name of White School Road. The Planning Department subsequently received an application on June 27th, 2016 to change the name from White School Road to White Schoolhouse Road. We went through the process of evaluating the request and sending public notice out that was sent out to all affected property owners on July 20th, 2016. And we didn't receive any negative comments, and we received one comment in favor of the proposal. So the decision was issued to change the name from the Planning Department on August 30th, 2016.
Why the desired change?
Why was it requested to change from? It was there was a mix up with Emergency Service regarding the current name of White School Road, and I think it sounds like commonly it had been referred to as White Schoolhouse Road, even though it's technically now as a White School Road.
That's the crucial part to me. If I'm living out there and I call 911 and they say, Where are you at? I'm on White Schoolhouse Road. They say, we don't have any White Schoolhouse Road. Or the ambulance rolls to the address that they have and they don't have any White Schoolhouse, but they have a White House Road or White School Road or whatever it is. And that's to try to alleviate this confusion with the official mappings and those kind of things, that everybody's on the same page. And
correct.
That was the real catalyst behind this, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, so it's officially named White School Road right now. If you look at Google Maps or other mapping systems, it actually calls it White Schoolhouse Road as to what it's commonly known as.
And the neighbors that are out there impacted by this, nobody raised any big objections to it?
No, we didn't receive any negative comments. Just one comment in favor I received in an email. And that's it.
Okay. We'll move into item number 2, requests and comments from citizens. You'll have 3 minutes. State your name and your address. You don't need to give your street number, but please tell us whether you live in the county or the city or community that you might live in. Yes, sir, right here in the front row. Not front row. Sorry, you didn't have your hand up.
My name is David Evers, Secretary of Mining for Twin Cedar Mining District. My mining claim is in Josephine County, and I'm currently a Jackson County resident. I have two exhibits here. This one right here, and what it is it's a congressional report making rare earth minerals and Strategic Minerals in the National Defense Authorization Act. And it's to create a reserve. And there's a GOA report here with that that shows the Defense Department totally failed. And so I've made a proposal, first off, to do government-to-government coordination and to bring the miners in. But this is going to be a multifaceted project. It'll be a 15-year project because between 1960 and 1980, we were the dominant force, were the ones that created the technologies using these rare earth minerals. And now it's all in China, 90 to 95%. So if we want to be competitive, not only with national security, but part of this bill is the economic well-being of our community. And so that's that exhibit, and that's my proposal to the federal government. This will expand because we will need the community colleges and the universities for the multi-disciplines. And I'm going to get the DOD to fund that for national security and the economic well-being of our region. And this is not just for Josephine County. It's for Jackson County. It's for Curry County. It's for Douglas County. And it's for the Southern Oregon region. For these minerals are vital, and they're here in our area in abundance. And these counties will become the richest counties in the world for these minerals. And these minerals are black sand that are magnetic, that are used to make your hard drive, that operates your guidance control systems, or your targeting and acquisition systems, or your laptop, or your phone, or whatever. These are what they call rare earth magnets. And we have these black sands, well, at least on my claim, in abundance. 365 pounds to the ton. And that's an American ton, not a metric ton. And so the next notice is a notice of default to all the parties, and you don't have to worry. The counties, the only way they're a party is they're a plaintiff along with me. So this is a notice of default. The next notice I need is from our county attorney to file a notice of sende tort if they don't come coordinate these issues with us, with the miners. Have a nice day.
Sandy Castanelli, Merlin, Oregon. Well, here we go again. This Board of Commissioners once again is flagrantly defying the will of the people. This time it's by setting in motion a process to establish and expand the authority of a hearings officer. You tried this before with the four junk ordinances, and it was overwhelmingly opposed by the electorate. It was this very board who put the junk ordinances on the ballot for the November 5th, 2013 election, and we voted it down overwhelmingly by over 80%. We emphatically did not want a hearings officer then, and we emphatically don't want an active hearings officer now. It's extremely disingenuous of the two of you to attempt to push this proposal through as lame duck commissioners. The 2013 defeat should not be circumvented, and this is little more than imposing your will on a future board. The proposed ordinance gives far too much authority to the unelected hearings officer. You may not want to do your job as commissioners, but a future board just might actually want to do it and enjoy it and will not have any problems with ex parte contact as commissioners have in the past. The hearings officer and the appointed Land Division Review Committee will not be directly accountable to the electorate as the commissioners are. For this very reason, it is not prudent or in the citizens' best interest to proceed with this process. I am requesting, I'm glad County Council is here, because I am requesting, I submitted to the record, the law and the forms necessary to put this ordinance for item 1A to a referendum. A vote of the people should be required for such an important subject, especially since we voted this down in the past. I appreciated it in a timely fashion. By 5 o'clock tomorrow would be appropriate because I believe that there are time limits on the referendum request. This is not appropriate to just say, yes, there's ample public input, because after a public notice, you can say something to the Rural Planning Commission and two times on an ordinance process where you probably will you know, yawn and not listen to the electorate who you are supposed to represent. This should go to, by a stroke of the pen, this is not appropriate, and it should go to a vote of the people by referendum if you want to continue this nonsense. Any comments or questions for me? If not, I would appreciate the documentation by 5 o'clock tomorrow. Thank you. Mr. Sligman.
Good morning, Commissioners. Mark Seligman, Selma, Oregon. I want to talk about a couple of things. First, I want to talk about the will of the people again, with the levy being defeated 60-40. I want to compliment outgoing Commissioner Heck for his lack of support of this levy. If any legacy that you'll have, it'll be that people are internally grateful that you said not under your watch or something to that effect. Now, further commissioners should be forewarned, they're not here today, but a taxing district, a tax levy, if any commissioner attempts to put this on the ballot themselves or to support it, they will be met with a great deal of criticism. So I urge future commissioners not to even try it. Now I want to go on to the planning department. It has become increasingly clear in the last few weeks that the planning department, driven by cannabis regulations, is now getting into other areas, areas such as nuisance code ordinances that were defeated, private property rights advocates would not be pleased with the direction the planning department is going in. Now we have a hearings officer. I talked to, had a nice discussion with legal counsel, and he said this would only apply on an application. Well, my question that I didn't ask him at that time was, what if somebody applied for a split of a property so they could have a grow site, 5 acres and 5 acres. He didn't seem to think there was a lot of problem. However, the planning department could restrict that if they so choose, because maybe they don't want extra grow sites. Just a thought. That's not a complaint-driven thing either. There are certain other items. We seem to be headed, the planning department seems to be headed towards a Jackson County model with cannabis. Now, I might point out the idea that was broached in the last session regarding a per plant charge, a cultivation property tax. The board should be understand that a cultivation property tax is illegal by measure 91 and 3400. The county does not need to have its own inspection. The state got $41 million in tax revenue. Certainly the state will provide that. The county would also make some money on this cultivation property tax revenue and would also further put us back in the black market, because people would say, the hell with this. So the county should tread very carefully. The planning director and commissioners should tread very carefully on this language, because they could leave themselves open to civil and criminal penalties. Thank you, and again, Mr. Heck, it's nice seeing you, and I hope your legacy holds.
Anyone else on this side? Excuse me, Miss. Sorry to say, Miss Judy, Miss Ahrens.
Judy Ahrens, resident of Grants Pass, Josephine County. I am so once again grateful to live in this county. Because we have some great citizens here, and very articulate citizens at that. And the last two that spoke up here regarding that that ordinance 216-069. He spoke very, very eloquently and very specifically. And I can't do that. They invest a lot of time. They're like the watchman on the wall, like the Bible says. And once again, very, very grateful to have people like that. It's very complicated. And I know things in the community, people are so busy, complications, they don't have time to do all this research. But once again, I'm very, very grateful, especially being coming close to Thanksgiving, to have such wonderful people that take the much time, live not close at hand here, and come in here to give their 3 minutes worth. What I'm concerned about, too, like the other two, is this hearing officer. I know it was said that the hearing officer, it's just for plaintiffs only, but this is where I totally feel so sad, is that a hearing officer, we elected, what's interesting, we elected people to be accountable, and so in next election we could vote them in or out. When you have a hearing officer, they're not elected. And so, and maybe the personality, or you'd say it's plaintiffs only, it gets very, very complicated and get very, very foggy or very cloudy in this whole process. Now, once again, I'm not that well informed and I don't understand it that well, but I do grasp some things. What I grasp is we're moving it from elected officials who would, even with the plaintiff only, give their piece, versus having a hearing officer. And when you have one person, it goes back to these personalities again. Poor person, the plaintiff that goes in there, and this person knows them in the community, whatever, they don't have a chance in heck to even get maybe a fair trial by this hearing officer. We say, well, they're not biased. Well, three people versus one, where that person gets the ultimatum. Now, I know there's all these other processes we go through, but moving it from elected officials, once again, real simple, I'm just using simple math here, moving it from the elected officials whose responsibility to now moving it over to a hearing officer who's not an elected official. That's a basic concept I hope our community understands, and I hope we could go that way. So I just feel very sad that we have to go that route. And I know we're going to have a couple hearings and go through that process, public hearings, but still to make it as simple as possible, and even to bring it before today is saddens me.
Anything else on this side?
Larry Ford, 136 Ferry Road, Grants Pass. But once again, our county has, right, wrong, or indifferently, no matter how you look at it, not passed a public safety levy. I think that the reality is it's gone on long enough. We've defeated a public safety levy for the last, ever since I've been back in the county. I think it's time to allow that process to go through. Maybe all we have left after come next July, we have a new president and we have a Republican Congress, maybe they'll continue to fund this SRS, whether they do or not. I think it's time to realize the reality, the fact that we don't have the money to properly fund the Sheriff's Department. And my suggestion, I know you both of you will not be on the next board when this comes up, to move the Sheriff's Department back to what it can afford. And if that is all is available is a jail with no deputies, then the county, the people in the county, will reap what they sow. And if we don't have deputies in the county, well, we don't. I just don't think, I hear the sheriff in the news of the day said something about taking money from other departments. Here again, this is an ugly snake's head that's come up for the last 3 or 4 years, is let's take the money from the road department and give it to the sheriff. Well, then we'll have two broke departments, because the money the road department has will probably fund the sheriff's department long enough to train new deputies, which to me is just utterly ridiculous. We did this a few years ago. We gave money from the road department to the sheriff. The idea was to be paid back. It hasn't happened, and it won't. So maybe it's time that we just let the sheriff's department deal with what they have. The unfortunate part is that we'll lose our deputies in our county. We'll have less law enforcement than we do now. And I believe everything will just get worse. Like I said, we have a new president-elect coming up. Maybe they'll look at it differently. Even if they decide to do SRS and eventuality to be to harvest more timber, that's a couple years out. I mean, it's with all the legal ramifications if they decide to, adhere to the treaty of ONC, it'll be at least 2 years before they harvest any more timber. So there's going to have to be something come from the feds to fortify what they don't, the treaty that they don't enforce, which is the ONC County Treaty. So maybe it's just time to let the sheriff go down to a jail and nothing else. It's a hard aspect or reality to think about, but we just can't take money from other departments to fund the sheriff and end up with, like I said, two county entities that have no money. The road department is losing money every year because we get less gas tax dollars. We don't need to get bankrupt both departments. Thank you.
Grants Pass. And I have just a quick question. I've heard a rumor that the Board of Commissioners is planning to put a public safety levy on the May 2017 ballot. And can you address this rumor?
Anyone else on the side? Mr. Scott?
Bill Hunker, Merlin, Oregon. Good morning. The same thing with the hearings officer. I understand we have a hearings officer in place, have had for some time. Since I have been watching, I've never seen the hearing officer appear anywhere. I don't understand if we had that option, why it's never been used. And if we have that, why are we changing it? Other than it appears to me that a hearings officer will cost something. And I'm assuming that one of the reasons we don't have a standing hearings officer currently is because of the cost. But if we have the option and I come up, how do we make that option get implemented if I say I'd like the hearings officer to hear my case? Do we then seek and find a hearings officer to hire to hear my case? Are there enough cases that we can do that? It seems to me the real issue here is who's going to fund it? Where's that money coming from? I think Wally made a really good point that so much poured in of such a technical nature over the sand and gravel issue. You're not going to just find somebody off the street. And if that person has this extremely technical nature, you're not going to pay pennies for it. You're going to pay a pretty good price. So is that person going to come one time on as a as a one case that they hear? Are they going to be on salary the whole time? Are they going to be on a retainer where we can call them in? The practice of this are what bother me. It's great to say we have this and we have that. We've never heard anybody come up and say, I'm a hearings officer, I'm ready to hear your case. And now we're saying we're going to have this magically appear from someone. It's been my impression that we pay for all these things. And when we're in the situation we are with public safety, I can't imagine if you ask the public today, would you rather have a really qualified hearings officer at X dollars or another deputy at X dollars, that they would ever choose a hearings officer. It's your job as commissioners to prioritize. And all we can say is the practice of that really seem very strange. I can tell you after having spent it, and like you have, out on the road, if I handed those two to almost anyone, they'd say, of course, we'll go with the sheriff. We'll get the money for the sheriff. So that's my concern. How do we end up justifying those dollars for an occasional sand and gravel? I have seen one or two in the 4 years that I've watched. Thank you.
Hart, land use consultant, Rogue River. I've been involved in the land use process for almost 40 years in numerous jurisdictions. The system now has gotten very complex, and it's hard to figure things out because a lot of the things are not black and white decisions. They're kind of shades of gray, and it takes some very good, reasoned decision-making processes to get to the point of making a decision. What I've found in the hearings officer process, especially in Jackson County, it's become so highly technical that most things will never pass muster when it comes to a hearings officer review. There's just some little nuance, and they've always come to a very technical issue. And if you start down the path of having hearings officers making the decisions, a final decision in going to LUBA, what that does is cause the people that have to go to LUBA to hire attorneys, and it gets very expensive and very complex. The last LUBA appeal that I was involved in cost the property owner over $50,000 more just to go to a LUBA appeal when it was a minor technical issue. I think the collective awareness of the board of the land use system and the desires of the community is still the best system that we have going. And I would highly encourage you not to go down the step of appointing the hearings officer as a final decision-making body that would force things to LUBA on very highly technical matters that would cause the expense to skyrocket. Thank you very much.
Anyone else over here on this side? Mr. Brandis, Rob Brandis.
Good morning, Rob Brandis, Public Works Director. Jeff covered the White School Road fairly well. Just a bit more backstory, just so everybody remembers how we got here. So White School Road was created in 1916. All public works documentation we found indicated that, planning the assessor, same. About 15 years ago, we had a mismatch of what our signs showed out there, so we made a conscious effort to get them all to White School Road, as our road files reflected and everything else. About 8 months ago, it was noted the two ODOT signs intersecting Highway 46 at White School House. Was related to a 911 call, so in the interest of getting everything uniform, we changed those. Well, of course, no good deed goes unpunished, and about 2 weeks later, some of the folks out there said, wait a second, that's not the name of the road. So we began the process of renaming this road. This is the first time we've gone through it, to my recollection, in more than 10 years, certainly since I've been in charge, and I think it's quite a ways before that. But I think the process worked like it's supposed to. A lot of the folks out there had colloquial recollections. That's how it's always been locally known, so that's fine. We've got a process to have the road changed. But as Jeff hinted at, the bigger piece is going to be the county agencies, us, and planning as well, making sure that everything with 911, the post office, these kinds of agencies is locked down tight so there is no confusion as to what the name of that road is for local first responders. So presuming the board signs this, our crews will be out there to change signs within the week, I suspect. If I had to put a dollar value on it, a couple hundred dollars, some sign blanks, and a couple hours of guy's time to swap them out. That's it.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, I'll bring it back to the board. Okay, Commissioner Heck, item 1A, which is the approval of resolution 2016-069 and authorizing Josephine County Community Development Planning Director to initiate a land use application to amend the Rural Land Development Code to provide for minute of review procedures for appeals of final decision made by the county's hearings officer. Again, this is a first step. This is not the final step. It will be going to public hearings. So do I hear a motion?
Well, I mean, some comments first, or do you want the motion? What do you want?
A motion, a second, and then we go into discussion.
Usually we have some comments made on
you can make comments.
Comments
go ahead.
From the citizens.
Go ahead. Sorry.
number 2016-069, and the balance as you read.
Okay, I second the motion. Discussion, please.
Yeah, the purpose of this is a approval of a resolution. It is not approval of an ordinance. It's the first thing. People keep saying ordinance. It's not an ordinance. It's a resolution. Resolution is simply saying, basically, let's look at a better way, more efficient way to do this. Is that possible? That's what the resolution allows to be discovered and found out. This is not the step one of a three-step process of a fait accompli that is going to be resolved, that is going to be a new process. That's not the whole, it'd be nice if things could be done like that in one sense if you agreed with them. But this is an approval for a resolution to allow this process to be looked at and investigated. And in the process of the hearings, everybody will have an opportunity to speak, and that's when the speaking comes out, and you go, and you realize, no, it's not going to pass. Okay. But somehow we get this idea that we're afraid to hesitant to make any kind of action because somebody is going to come unglued. And if they come unglued, you are now automatically a leftist, a rightist, a communist, or whatever. The pejoratives go out and they get heaped on. Let's just look at the issue and to realize in a court of review and talking about this thing, we find out, you know what? This is not a good idea. Okay, good. And that, therefore, this whole process stops. And I just don't see the danger in being able to talk about something in an open session and to look at it and to review it. And therefore, I would support the resolution.
Okay. Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? No? Okay. Roll call, please.
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries. Okay. Item 1B. This is the approval of the non-union salary analysis on the employees that are not, of course, non-union, meaning they're not covered by the union. So do I have a motion for approval or further discussion? No, further discuss that motion.
No, I will move for approval of the non-union salary analysis.
And I second the motion. Any further discussion? Question?
I think that the key in this is, obviously, you're talking about this is not anything other than allowing people that have been working with a decreasing salary because of inflation to be able to have a baseline of consistency. And that, to me, is an important issue, and especially for these folks. They're not union folks. They don't have any union representation now. They certainly could have if they all decided to unionize or whatever. But to say that this is something that we ought to put off another year, I mean, I supported it the previous four times this has come up. But I think it's time to say, okay, we need to at least be realistic enough for those who are working for us be able to say we expect you to work for us, not at a cost to yourself, because you're losing money every year you work for us with this, with the increasing of inflation, and it goes down. So.
I agree. I find it. I always talk about we have a difficult budget, but if you make incremental increases in the benefit of compensation to employees, they tend to stay. But as was mentioned earlier, we've lost a lot of employees to other, particularly to Jackson County, almost any other county. They get paid in every other county pretty much more than they get paid here. So, you know, we train them at the training field, and then they leave us. And recruiting, you know, the cost being $200 to the county, to the general fund, you can't even run an advertisement any kind of publication to recruit someone for a job for $200. So, you know, the penny-wise and pound-foolish trite phrase here applies, I think. So if we can do anything to retain the people that we've invested in, I think it's important. So anyway, roll call, please.
Yes.
Yes, motion carries. Item 1C, this is approval order number 2016-005 in the matter of renaming White School Road to White Schoolhouse Road. Mr. Heck, do I have a motion?
I would move for that to be approved.
I second the motion. Any further comment or discussion? Seeing none, roll call.
Yes.
Yes, motion carries. Okay, consent calendar. Item 3A, we have various minutes, general discussion of November 1st, 2016. City-County update on November 1st, 2016. Weekly business session, November 2nd, 2016. And county administration workshop, November 3rd, 2016. Item 3B, order number 2016-049 in the matter of a local alcohol and drug planning committee. That's LADGC, adoption of revised committee bylaws. Commissioner Heck, any comment?
No.
Just a change in their bylaws that's to update it. A lot of our committees and such have bylaws that they go by, and some of them haven't been revised in a very long time, so they just need to be.
Well, I will say these bylaw revisions have been accomplished as the whole committee has spoken together, met together. They've met numerous times to look at this whole thing, and this represents the consensus of what they believe is the best policy for this LADPC, and certainly was there on the scene in the battle, and they are certainly the ones who deserve the support for what they do believe is best, and I do support it.
Thank you. Anything else Order number 2016-053 in the matter of the installation of signs on certain roads within Josephine County. These are subdivisions that have been developed, and they need to have stop signs installed so that when people enter into the main feeder roads of the county, they'll stop. They have stop signs, and it'll manage the traffic and not cause traffic hazards. So this is a very simple process that the Public Roads Department has to go through, but we have to approve it, so that's what it is.
Hopefully simple.
Hopefully simple. Okay, item 3D, order number 2016-054, as a matter of the acceptance of Lawn Way, the extension of Tech Way, and the extension of Saratoga Way. Not to be confused, as when I first read it, is that Lawn Way does not go into Tech Way. These are three different streets. I could not see that. So this is just accepting them as county roads. They are not currently county roads, and we are accepting them as such to be county maintained roads. Okay.
Because of growth and
yes.
Housing.
Yes, because of housing and development on those roads, they want the roads to be maintained for that development. Item number four. We have our consent calendar we need to approve. We have a motion to approve the consent calendar.
And I approve the consent calendar consisting of items 3A, B, C, and D.
Okay, I second the motion. Any further discussion of those items? Okay, roll call, please.
Yes.
Yes, motion carries. Any other business that needs to come before the board? Okay, any other matters and questions? Okay, I just want to make a couple of comments here in regards to some of the information people presented during their discussion. In regards to future funding for the county, as Mr. Poore brought up, we've had several discussions. We've had some with the board, and then I've had private discussions with different department heads. I met with the sheriff yesterday. And the Secure Rural Schools was not approved, renewed last year, nor was a new bill introduced to replace it, and it doesn't appear there'll be one this year. There was a Republican Congress then, as there is now, and they didn't introduce it. So, you know, if we don't have Republican congressmen introducing it, it's not going to happen. And so, that being said, looking at, and granted, the two of us won't be there, but it still is a concern because we live here and operate within this county and want the best for the citizens, whether we're sitting behind this desk or not. The situation of more timber, I'd like to address that as well, because we have looked at all of these. You know, how much more timber can we harvest? How much would that bring in that we could possibly put in public safety? We just had our, pretty much our last lumber mill close, Rough and Ready. And the county forestry lands here, now when we go to sell our timber sales, every buyer of our timber sale is going to have to take into account that they can't process it here. They must. Granted, some of them did take it to another mill when they would buy the sales before, but now they must. There is no place to take it in Josephine County. So the travel transport costs are going to be higher. It either has to go into the mills in Northern California or go up to Douglas County. And so that is going to affect the county's timber sales as to the price that we're able to get for our timber. So we're feeling the bind in a lot of ways because our new forestry director that we had hired this past year has done a fabulous job trying to increase the harvest on our lands. And then now to have this kind of thing happen to where there's always going to be that factor as to where is it going to go to be processed and how much is that going to cost. So back to my original statement, I wanted to cover that part, the harvest part, as to, you know, revenue. We've looked for revenue. We have tried to find where we could do that. And as was mentioned, we can't devastate our other departments to the benefit of another one when there's no end in sight for anyone. We are required to provide certain core services. And one of those core services is a jail. And, you know, I can't put upon the next board what they're going to do, but there just simply isn't any money. I was working with a financial analysis yesterday with Arthur O'Hare, and, you know, you look at the jail now, and it's like, okay, chop $3 million off next year. What's left is going to be the jail. You know, simply there would just be no other services provided by the sheriff's department, and jail is all we're mandated to have. So unless some miracle happens, we're not going to be having anything but a jail, is my opinion. So that outlook is not good, and I don't hold out a lot of hope for the secure school, since the same Oregon legislators are there this time as were there last time, and they didn't even use it last time either. So, okay. And then, of course, the question came up about the rumor in regards to a levy proposed by the Board of Commissioners. We haven't had a discussion in the board in regards to introducing anything like that. But I do know there is a discussion out there, and in fact, I have seen it, in regards to a district, and I think I almost called you commissioner. So sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to demote you, Council Hicks.
Thank
if,
you.
And I think you have a timeline on that. Would you like to discuss that? If that is a possibility,
yes.
Or is that happening? Or
thank you.
We haven't discussed it here.
No, you have not, Commissioner Walker, Wally Hicks, Legal Counsel, and so it's best probably to bring this up in context of the board's position that I gather was taken last week regarding the library district. I think the board, I wasn't there, but I gather the board has decided to proceed with trying to put a library district onto the upcoming ballot in May. And so I bring that up because this is probably a good opportunity to describe what the timeline, the requisite timeline is for putting anything, be it a library district, a law enforcement district, district onto the upcoming May ballot. And so I appreciate that you'd ask me to address this. So the upcoming election is scheduled for May 16, 2017. And the way to figure out whether ultimately it's going to be this board that initiates a process of putting anything, library, law enforcement, any kind of district on there, or your successors who put it on, who initiate that process, is by looking at that date, May 16, and then all of the statutes and even charter provisions that require certain timelines to be satisfied before anything can go on to a ballot. So looking at that, May 16, because that election is a regularly scheduled special election as opposed to a primary or a general election, the kind of elections that are held in even-numbered years such as this one, the charter, and that's Section 28, Paragraph 1, requires that the board refer the measure at least 90 days prior to the election itself, and that 90-day mark actually occurs on February 15. However, there are a number of other statutory requirements that the county would have to satisfy in order to get something onto a ballot. And I suppose I could walk you through them now, but I'll spare you the details for the time being unless there are particular questions. But the upshot of it all is that your deadline for putting anything, library, anything else, public safety, law enforcement, a district on there, is you've got to do it no later than December 21st, 2016 of this year. And so the answer is, in terms of who initiates a district of any kind, it's going to be this board. It's going to be this year. Next month, in fact, no later than the 21st. But even preliminary to that, before that happens, so what would happen on the 21st would be that the board would pass an order that initiates the formation and that sets the first public hearing for the district. And this is different from an ordinance. You're setting up a district versus an ordinance, so a different set of timelines actually apply for the statutes. So the board would, on the 21st, pass an order if you should so desire to go forward with this. But you would have to attach to the order resolutions from both of the incorporated cities that would be included within the district. So is everyone following me so far on all this? Okay, so again, the timeline here is backing up even more on the 21st, because you would really need to, in the very, very near term, invite the cities to consider whether they want to be part of any district that the board is considering putting on the ballot, and in fact pass and provide to you formal resolutions to that effect. And so in terms of the library, what I wanted to basically articulate is that at next week's business session, the 22nd, November 22nd, when I think unfortunately Commissioner Walker is not going to be here for that one, right, okay, but there will be a quorum at least. So that's when I would need to present you with a letter and a draft resolution to go out to the two cities regarding the library district. And you basically need to decide whether to sign the letter and send it to the send it to the two cities to ask if they will pass a resolution to join a library district. And so next week, basically, it's going to be, you're going to formally be starting this process. So there's going to be, I gather that's what the board wants to do. And so I'm going to present you with the letters next week, and you can basically say, okay, we're going to sign it and send it off and invite the cities. So it's going to get formal pretty quick. Yes, sir.
Just, pardon me, on the clarification, the Board of Commissioners is not presenting a levy or a district proposal. We are simply standing aside and allowing the people who have done all of the work generated to get the votes and all of the other process to get something on the ballot. We are simply passing that through to the voters to say, yes or no. I mean, the board itself is not saying, this is what we desire to see, and we recommend it to be voted upon, and hopefully, yes. That's not our role as far as this goes. We are simply saying we believe that the voters and the sponsors of this ordinance or this bill are deserving an opportunity for the voters to make a decision, yes or no, do they support it?
It comes down to whether the board decides to put it on the ballot. It's
right.
Not a petition. That's
but, yeah,
critical.
But that's the same thing that happens whether a bill comes, a petition comes to the Board of Commissioners, and it's a citizen-generated issue, and it has to go to the commissioners to be put on the ballot. but being put on the ballot is not supportive of or in rejection of the proposal to go on the ballot.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, so, yeah, there's a difference between, I suppose, the board as a governmental entity taking
right.
the position and whether a district should be formed.
Right.
I think that's right. That's right. Sure.
I think, too, that one thing we have to remember as a community is the citizens, a number of years ago, voted on adding and putting the library in the county charter. The county is required to support the library.
That's accurate.
And we have been unable to do so with our own resources from general fund to support the library. So they've been on their own. We provided some, almost every year, some economic development money to them, about $30,000 for computers and software and such to stay current with that technology. So that has been the limit of our support. So when the library comes forward and their board wants to put a levy a district on the ballot, when we are required in our charter to support the library, I think it's important for us to say the citizens have brought this forth from the library. We need to allow them the opportunity to make their case to the public for votes. And so, you know, that's my opinion in regards to the library. Now, as to this rumor and in regards to a levy or a district for public safety, the board's not discussed that. And we've not approached any other community on that because that's not been initiated by us. So
I think that's one commissioner.
And pretty much and at this point in time, it's too late for all intents and purposes.
Well, so that's why I brought up the library subject largely, because within context of that, it's the same timeline.
Same timeline, but the library is already working on it. They're already going to the cities and getting that information, correct?
No. Well, I'm not the library spokesman, but from what I gather, no. It's traditionally when the citizens are putting it on through the petition process, sure, they're going to be the ones who go to the cities and get the resolutions. But when the board is putting it on, which is what's occurring here with the library district, then it is going to be the board of commissioners who send a formal invitation to the cities. And that's what I'm going to say is going to have to go on the agenda for next week, and I think we're planning to put it on for next Tuesday. So it is going to be the board that formally invites the cities to pass resolutions in this case. It's not, and the library has taken, I gather Kate in the library has taken those steps in that direction.
I was under the impression that the library board had petitioned the other two cities to support this with they would do that. But that certainly would be something to double check and make sure that that's already begun.
Yes. I will double check that. We can invite Kate to next Tuesday's meeting and we can ask her directly. I think she's expecting the board to actually send the letter with the draft resolution, because from what I understand, traditionally that's how it works when the board actually initiates the district.
I think that's on the meeting agenda next week.
It is for next Tuesday, right. So there's going to be probably an extended discussion about this library district next Tuesday, just as the heads up. And like I say, a decision, because of the timeline, you'll be kind of asked to make a decision yea or nay on whether to invite the cities to submit
this
resolution.
And this is not a county-wide district.
Not.
This is a district that they are proposing of areas that have supported the library on by the vote.
Yes.
And with the exception of two districts, but
precincts.
All of the precincts, with the exception of the other ones, are all precincts who have in the past supported it and have given some indication to the library that they would like to have the libraries in their precincts. And
yes.
So that was the catalyst to see this move ahead. This is not a countywide vote as far as having libraries all part of the
No, correct. Just the precincts that have previously supported.
Right.
So as to the rumor, nothing's in place.
No, nothing's in place from my perspective. I mean, one commissioner has, I think, discussed the matter, not within this public forum by any means. That commissioner will be here next week, and so it could be something he wants to discuss next week.
Until that time, that commissioner shall remain anonymous.
Well, you don't have to keep him anonymous. Not my place to go, but yeah.
All right. Well, I was just reflecting when I heard the rumor over the weekend in regards to how Commissioner Heck said, any further ballot measures would be coming from the public, so when I heard that, I'm going, this board hasn't done that, so I just want a clarification. So.
Yep.
And the timeline. Thank you. That's helpful.
Certainly.
All right. Thank you very much. Actually, Mr. Hunker, I believe, has left. He brought up all the questions in regards to, you know, the structure of having a hearings officer. Once again, we already have the hearing officer provision. We do not have a hearing officer on staff or retainer. How it is typically conducted is that you do a screening process, and this is what is typical. We haven't put this in place, but you do a screening process. In other words, you call for requests for qualifications for people to be hearings officers, and you put out there that, and you typically have more than one because you hire them case by case. You want to hire someone for a particular type of land use, or you want to hire someone for a particular kind of issue, and this is done all the time by various governments. You don't have them on staff. You pay for them by the case, and so it's not an ongoing retainer type of an expense, and if you need someone with a particular expertise in commercial land use or in environmental type of things, you always have people that you've already taken requests for qualifications, and you can call on them at a typically predetermined either base fee or base fee plus hour, whatever, but we don't have one on staff. There's no one out there in the wings as a hearings officer for the county on the data. So. All right, I think that takes care of the questions. All right, one announcement here. Our next weekly business session for our board business is on Tuesday. It is not on Wednesday. It's on Tuesday, November 22nd at 9 a.m. here, same place, just a day earlier. Again, that's on Tuesday, November 22nd, 9 a.m. right here. And it'll be Commissioner Hare and Commissioner Peck. I will not be here at that time. And so, any further comment? Okay. We are adjourned at 10:17.